Kevin Tyler, Lands Manager with Clark County Public Works, Parks and Lands, also serve as the Railroad Coordinator.
Danielle Cowley, Lands Coordinator for Parks and Lands.
Jim Pearson, Railroad Advisory Board.
Eric Fuller, Railroad Advisory Board.
I got to touch it.
No, you don't.
Nathan Bruce, Chief Operating Officer, PBGR.
Neil Chambers, Railroad Advisory Board.
Jim Malinowski, Railroad Advisory Board.
Mark Daniels, Railroad Advisory Board.
John Hanson, Railroad Advisory Board.
John Schaefer, Railroad Advisory Board.
And I'm Dan Weaver, the Chair of the Railroad Advisory Board. Go back here.
Mike O'Connell, former property owner along the railroad, but I'm crazy about railroads, so that's why I'm here.
Steve Jagelski, property owner.
Doug Auberg, BYCX.
Randy Williams, BYCX.
Dave Rowe, interested in regional rail.
Sue Marshall, I represent Clark County District 5.
Counselor Marshall.
Do you want to, we have one county staff member online as well.
Okay, go ahead.
Rocky, you want to go ahead?
Rocky Houston.
Rocky Houston.
Parks and Lands.
Parks and Lands.
Manager.
Okay, that's the only one we have online now?
We have two members of the public so far, Nancy Halverson and Jackie Lane.
Okay. Okay, everybody's read the minutes, I presume?
Sure.
And I'm going to call foul because I think they put something in that I didn't agree to, but I guess you all did. The very last thing on there, they told me that I was going to write a letter to Kathleen Otto, and I don't remember that at all. I have not done it yet. I will do that.
I think that was the letter that you wrote that was about the manager, and it mentioned 5517, and that we approved that to be sent. I don't remember a letter specifically just to address 5517.
Eric Fuller seconded it. Do you remember what it was?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We're on the same page. Did you send that letter out?
Yes.
Okay. Then we're good. amend the minutes to say.
Okay. Any other?
Can we amend the minutes? Say a letter.
Say 5517 and other items. Okay. Everybody approve the minutes as corrected?
Sure.
Anybody opposed?
Not a chance.
The minutes are accepted without exception.
As amended.
Correct. Okay. I have no real comments until I get to other areas down here. So I guess we can go to election of officers. I'm going to open the nomination for officers of chair and vice chair.
Is there any reason why the two of you wouldn't be willing to continue?
Nominate him.
I would like to nominate Dan Weaver as the chairman.
I nominate Dan Weaver.
He's already nominated.
I'll second the motion.
All right. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, how about vice chair?
I nominate John Schaefer as vice chair.
Been moved and seconded that John Schaefer be the vice chair. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. So John and I up to bat again.
Now I know the definition of railroad.
Yeah, right. Okay, let's move on to PBJR activities. Nathan Bruce, you have anything to tell us?
I do. Let me get a mic that works here.
Thank you.
Is that on?
There you go.
Okay, here we go. 2022's behind us. I don't know if you saw the spreadsheet. Third busiest year. We were shy by about 50 cars. And I don't want to guarantee we're going to beat that this year, but it looks good. So the future is bright. Got a lot of things in the works right now. A lot of potential customers knocking down the door. So I think we weathered the storm of COVID and whatever the rest of the world was going through. And there's some light at the end of the tunnel. Started getting some of the track work done last month. So the tie project is in full speed ahead. I think they've got about 2 more weeks and we should have that completely finished up. So road bed, tie rehabilitation between Fruit Valley and Battleground. It looks good. We've taken a couple of trips out towards Battleground and it's a great improvement to what it looked like before. So I know some of those pictures have been shared with you guys over the last few years, and night and day difference, and we'll share some better ones with you here soon. Looking at some potential expansion in the future, I think the only thing holding us back now is just storage capacity. So we've got a couple of things in development out towards Barberton, some properties that we're looking at, and time to build some more tracks so we can accommodate these customers we plan on bringing onto the line. So I think 2023 should be the banner year. About all I got. Yes, sir.
Are you still delivering plastic pellets to Battleground?
No. So Anderson sold the Battleground property and they're solely working out of Brush Prairie. Eric obviously likes to dabble in real estate, and I know there's some potential customers to take that over from Anderson and try to keep a rail presence there. So that's obviously our hope. I haven't heard who or what or when, but
so you're still operating out of Brush Prairie?
Correct. So there were 2 Anderson facilities, right? One at Brush Prairie, one at Battleground. They've since shut down and sold. We're in the process of selling the Battleground operation, so all the traffic is now going to Brush Prairie. So they've stepped up production. We haven't lost any of the business. It's just all going to be processed through Brush Prairie now.
So there's no movement on the track from Brush Prairie up to Battleground?
We'll probably be storing cars on the siding since we did all the work to get it rehabbed. It's kind of funny that the one business we served out there decided to sell off right as we improved the track. So we'll make a point of utilizing that for something. It's a nice storage spot. So I'm thinking we'll probably take plastic pellet cars up there that Brush Prairie can't hold. We'll store them up there and then we'll put them on spot as requested. At least that's my plan as of now.
Now the rehab up there, did that use those donated ties?
No. So this grant only allowed for new ties. So hopefully, and I was just talking to Kevin about that, in the future, we can include the relay ties that we've got. So I've got about 4,000 ties on hand now that are all class one railroad relays that would serve our purposes for probably 20 or 30 years once we put them into the ground. And we've got a lead for another 30,000. So we're trying to capture the BN ties locally that they have in their tie program. So they're changing out those 60 mile an hour mainline ties every 4 or 5 years. They still have plenty of life in them for a 10 mile an hour railroad. So hopefully as we move forward into future grants, we can make an allowance for the use of those, because there's no doubt we'll get exponentially more bang for our buck. You know, I'm getting the ties donated for free. Eric is working on getting a tax credit for those kind enough to donate said ties. And then it's just the installation cost. So on this last grant, I think we were upwards close to $300 per tie installed. I think we can probably pull it off for well under $100 per tie. So 3 to 1, if we can use the relay stuff.
Okay, thank you. Okay, BYCX activity.
Okay, there we go. Well, we've closed the year out. Interesting, we had approximately, well, just a little under 8,000 passengers for the year. Half of those passengers were the last 4 weeks of the year during Christmas.
Wow.
Just about half. We made all of our runs, all 4 weekends, 3 runs a day on Saturday and Sunday. A lot of happy people, a lot of happy kids. We got out of the Christmas tree business that we were in before for several different reasons. It just wasn't being financially feasible because of the distance we have to go to get trees. We didn't want to price the tickets so high that it started driving away families, young families, because it was going to go way into $100 for four tickets and a tree. So we figured we were better off to keep our prices down, let them get the nosebleed at the local tree farm or the Cub Scouts or someplace else. But now that we're into 2023, we'll be starting on the finishing up the steam engine, putting the boiler back together. We're manufacturing our own stay bolts. We were having a problem getting those, and finally got our mechanic got a tool to build them, and now he's making them himself. And that was one of our big holdups. They did pretty much all the other work, painting and leak repairs and things like that. So now we're ready to put things back together. Hopefully we'll see the steam engine out. It's normal weekend to get debuted every year. It's been Father's Day weekend, so we're shooting for that. If any of you entrepreneurs out there want a business, the winery's still for sale along the railroad tracks. It looked like it was going to be sold, but that fell through, so it is now vacant. That was one of our sources of revenue when they were running the wine trains, as we put it, do an extra train in the evening for them on a regular run weekend, and those were always sold out. And it was a good event for the winery. So anyway, that's about all I have. We'll be starting doing track repair, maintenance where we have to. We've got a couple sections north of Yakult that we have to repair to get the locomotive through there. We know about it, small sections. We had breakdown of the tie exchanger last year. So now we've got it all fixed. We can go back up there and start working on it again. Anybody have any questions? Yeah, John.
Now that the county and Eric are all square away, are you guys clear now to start building on your building? Or?
Well, I sent Eric an email the other day asking if he could meet prior to this meeting, and he couldn't do it, but he said he'll try to schedule us. We still have some technicalities to work through. The agreement wasn't a mutual agreement between us and PBJR, so we have to still see if we can work through that. And we're anxious to build the building. Obviously, inflation is hurting our building. Mm-hmm. Cost of steel has gone up, and we don't have any more money, so to speak. So, and by the way, we could use any of those 4,000 ties you don't need.
We're happy to give you some. Yeah, why not? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Do we just need to send a truck?
Yeah. We'll talk.
We'll talk. Okay. That's all I have. If nobody else has anything for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, county activities.
Yeah, I'll give you an update. So, so Nate mentioned the grant, RRB 1230. That's the roadbed rehabilitation project, actively in construction. Tentative time frame for completion is the end of next week. That's not counting any last minute items that either party finds. In a final walkthrough, we will have HCR down here doing a final walkthrough. So there'll be a punch list items to address. But as of today, as of this morning, it sounds like all the ties are in, and the contractor's primarily working on surfacing and tamping and things of that nature with the ballast to wrap this one up. We've got some repairs to do at those at the crossings with bonds and things of that nature that got messed up with the track work. But otherwise, that project's coming along nicely. The other two grants, so GCB 3592, that's $2.7 million. That's for bridge repairs and also for more roadbed rehabilitation. So that's county's project manager assigned to that project is working on getting consultants in place to help with, A, getting bridge repairs out to bid, and B, getting somebody on board like HDR, not necessarily HDR, to help with getting the roadbed rehabilitation stuff out to bid. We started discussions internally about the ties that Nathan mentioned, and also talking with WashDOT about how that fits into a grant project and if it can be funded. Preliminary discussions are favorable, so we're hoping that it's going to go in the right direction. The third grant there, GCP 1249, that's the additional $500,000 for just roadbed rehabilitation. We have a final grant agreement ready for that one to get sent through the signature process. So that'll go to our council first, then to WashDOT for their final approval. The positive note on that grant is that the timeline has been extended to June 2025, so that's through the next state capital budget. And we've been discussing with WashDOT getting the other grant, GCB 3592, extended on the same timeline. So those are both very positive items. And then lastly, the signal repairs, we have the construction contractor here this week to take a tour, do a site visit, get his head wrapped around how he's going to approach construction, and then hopefully construction will start shortly after that. It's been a little bit delayed with, it sounds like, all of the flooding in California, because that's where that contractor's from. That's what I have. Any questions?
Those signals are where again?
The signals that are out of service are St. John's,
72nd,
119th. And they're partially active with lights. This crossing arms are not working, and lights in both directions are not working.
So. I'd like to maybe in future meetings have a new item. And one is an update. Apparently the county has to get the north line up to handle 10 mile an hour traffic, and that's the agreement just says the county will work diligently and in good faith to perform FRA compliance 10 mile an hour. Could we just like mostly get an update on what's going on with that?
Sure.
I know for probably next 7 months it'll be nothing. And I did that for two reasons. One, to let us know, and two, we're going to have a counselor that's going to be our liaison, and it'd be nice to, somewhere down the road, Eric's going to say you're not moving fast enough, and you guys are just going to say, hey, we're working in good faith, and it'd be nice to have a nice paper trail that says this is what we've been doing month-to-month basis, and I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I can work on something like that.
Okay, thank you.
Is the current track work rehabilitation is going on as I is changing? Is there anything left over to bring up to the north end?
So the next two grants are, aside from the bridges, are focused on everything north of Battleground. So the first, the scope of work on the first grant that I met, sorry, the scope of work on the $2.7 million grant is bridge repair, and that's the timber trestle bridges, so 6, 12, 18, 20, 23, and 25, or is 25 the culvert?
25 is trestle.
Yeah, okay, so those six would be, the idea would be to do the priority repairs on those, so anything that in the last inspection done by HDR identified priority 1, 2, and 3 defects. So we're going to address all those defects on those bridges. Then the next two scope of work items on that grant are our roadbed rehabilitation from milepost 14 northward. As far as the money goes, right now, it looks like that's going to be around Yackel, we hope. But it kind of depends on price of lumber, price of ballast, price of contractors, how much the bridge repairs end up costing, that kind of thing, right? And if these these relay ties work out, you know, that's going to make the money go even further. Then the $500,000 would be added on to that. Again, it specifies in the grant agreement that it's only to be used on the north line. So all of that money's headed towards the north line.
Now, the track that's between Yakult and Chalachi is accepted track, and that's especially around probably between 28, 29 in that area. It's pretty mushy in there because of the overgrowth of trees and drop, you know, so much vegetation into the ballast. The ballast isn't surviving.
Yeah.
And, you know, the woods, the ties are just gone in a lot of those places. That's where we have the most trouble in there, and that's where we've been working other than the maintenance we have to do. The big thing is there's nothing available currently. No. So that was what I was trying to say.
Yeah, the money's in those grants for the north line. And so we hope that we can get north of Yakult with this. But it depends on all those other factors that are at play.
Mm-hmm.
But I would envision this looking a lot like it did when HDR helped us with the south line, which is we have somebody get out there and walk the track, inspect it, and determine where's the best way to spend the money and prioritize that work so then we can make decisions when it's time to put it out to bid, like we did with this last project where we had to pull off the lower priority items because we didn't have enough funding to cover all of them that were recommended.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you. Councillor Marshall, would you like any commentary before we get into some other business issues?
I don't really have any commentary, but I'll just introduce myself for those folks that don't know me. My family's been farming in Clark County for over 60 years, and I decided to run this last round because I knew the comp plan was coming up. I'm concerned about preserving farmland, and I was lucky enough to get elected. So I'm learning the ropes. I've been watching the railroad, communicating with a lot of people along the railroad. So I just hope that communication stays open with all of the folks along the route. And my door is open. If anybody wants to talk to me about anything, I'm always happy to listen.
Which is the approximate area?
Well, let's see. It's down to 159th to the freeway, and then it dips down, picks up just the edge of Salmon Creek and the university. It comes up and includes Brush Prairie up to Vennersburg and then just straight east from there. So, and then all parts north. So Battleground, La Center, Ridgefield, Yakult, Amboy, a little sliver of Woodland. It's a big territory. Our farm's in Ridgefield, so that's where I hang out mostly on the west side.
If you look online for the map of the districts, she's in District 5 in that North County area. Thank you. Okay, unfinished business bylaws. I have not had a chance to update, get into that. I worked on the railroad all day today and didn't get to it. So you and I'll have to get together and I try to get Kent or somebody into fixing that. You're going to try to do something on the
Yeah, when we talked, it was to make sure that we had in the code changes that we're proposing that we include if we're going to keep seats for City of Vancouver and the Columbia River Economic Development Council, that we identify those in code so that there can be the direct appointment.
Okay. So that takes care of the bylaws and code. Now, if I can find my notes, we're going to talk about the open positions. John and I and Kevin met with candidates. And we agreed that we would reinstate the applying people that wanted to re-up, including me. And we agreed on me and John Hansen and Jim Pearson. And we had two open positions to fill. We met with six candidates. And we concluded on two candidates that we want to recommend for the board to approve. One of them is a gentleman named Zachary Keith, and he has experience in the steel industry over in North Portland, and he runs their steel operation and the railroad part of that, because everything comes in and out by rail, and so he has very heavy experience in the railroad industry, and he was very interested in that. So we selected him, and there's another person that we selected, and he had a prior experience in the military, primarily not railroad related, but he lives on the very end of the line at Chilachi, and has a very good feel for what the people up in that area are thinking about and what would like to be done. And he says he can't complain. He lives on the railroad, and it's like right through his backyard. And it he'd rather not hear the trains, but the track is there, and that's where he bought, so he's happy with living with it.
And he's right next door to the quarry, too.
Yeah, right next door to the quarry.
Yeah, it's like he's kitty corner from the quarry, and the line goes through his backyard.
And he's very, I don't want to say aggressive, but yet he's very active, really wants to get involved, and we felt that he would be a good fit for the Railroad Advisory Board. Pardon me?
What was that person's name?
Gregory Smith. Does anybody want to discuss any of those further? We need to just, you want to vote on them independently or all together? Okay. Any discussion? You want to get rid of one of us? You elected us to office now. You can get rid of us.
Well, a couple of things. We had two people apply that you know are neighbors of the railroad. One of them lives in Brush Prairie, and he was part of the Greater Brush Prairie Neighborhood Association, which Dan and I had, I don't know, 15 meetings with them over the course of last year. We had Rick Denise, who was we had on the board with us, that was a member of that, and so we kind of felt that we got pretty much everything we could on their viewpoint. We understand where they're coming from. A lot of stuff is going to happen on the north end of the line in this coming year. We're going to have improvement of the line going all the way to Chilachi Prairie. The county's going to be doing that. Eric's going to be working on trying to get gravel rail cars coming down. We have, you're going to have public hearings going on with the development of a rock quarry up there. It'd be nice to have somebody on the board that has their ear to the neighborhood and kind of let us know what's going on. You know, we have Jim up there. You know what's going on, but you haven't been here as often as you should be lately.
I apologize for that. I have some communication problem. I didn't even notice.
Okay, well, it's first Monday, second Monday every month.
Yeah, I live within a quarter mile. Okay. I missed here, and this train was going
by. Okay, but we thought that would be a good thing to have, you know, another set of eyes and ears up there to let us know what's going on. So that's why we selected him. And Zach was just a real fine young man, and he was raised I forget the name of the town, but you know where the interpretive center for the gorge is out there by Dow, by the Dow? You stand in their parking lot and look across the river. That's where he was raised. Very much there. So he's a real small town boy that has a pretty influential position over there. At, it used to be Portland Steel, and now it's owned by a German company?
Russian?
And that what you said is Russian?
Russian, yeah.
Yeah. Oregon Steel was owned by Russian.
Yeah, so and he comes across real good. I think he'll be a good member.
Hey, all, just a reminder to please use your microphones when you take an opportunity to speak.
My voice gets that one on.
It helps with making those minutes as accurate as possible.
Well, I know. If you can't hear me, you just put whatever you want in.
Yeah, that's right. That's how that got in here. All right. Any other questions, comments? All those in favor of selecting those people as members of the board to be pushed forward for final approval with the Kathleen Otto, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So I guess we've elected.
And just for the record, that's reappointment of
me,
you, John
Hansen,
and Jim
Pearson,
and then the two that we just discussed.
Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll make sure that those recommendations
Gregory
get
Smith
pushed forward to the county manager.
And Zachary Keith. One other thing about membership, we've been holding a position for CREDC and City of Vancouver. I reached out to Mr. Eichen at the city, and he has agreed that they will commit somebody to it. They are hiring up a new position that will be the person that will be our representative ongoing. In the meantime, he will try to attend. He could not attend tonight, but he would attempt to attend the meetings in the interim until they hire that person on board for the City of Vancouver. With respect to CREDC, she indicated that the director there indicated that they still are not fully staffed, and she couldn't devote the time to it now, but she would appreciate seeing our information as it comes forward. And I said that's fine as long as we get some output from her, and when we need information that we can reach out to her, and she's agreed to that in the interim. So we'll continue to have her as a liaison through to the CREDC until they get staffed up that, and can provide someone on a more permanent basis. Okay, I'm going to jump down to new business. The Olympia visit, and I can't remember where we were in that discussion. I think this was all offline after last time's meeting, but both Eric and Amber concluded that we should delay our visit to Olympia until there was a topic that was pertinent to us that we could go up and really have a benefit and kill both birds with one stone, and that is to just to have a general visit with some of the representatives and to also support a particular bill. They're thinking about that one for the tax credit that they had mentioned at the meeting last time. So we're delayed on that. And any of you that plan to want to think about going to that Olympia visit, it's probably going to be on a short notice, and I'm guessing, what, 2 weeks' notice at most?
Yeah.
And sometimes they jump them up earlier when they have a gap, and that may be overnight notice. I don't know. So we'll have to wait and see what comes up with that and try to time our visit with that. Normally we'd go up there and usually around the middle or of January or first part of February to get a visit with all of them, and they just felt it would be more beneficial to have a topic to really discuss when we go up there. All right, I know Mr. Rowe is here and wants to have a few words, and I'm going to limit you to a few minutes, so go ahead.
Okay. I'm concerned with climate change. Passenger rail system in Clark County would slow global warming and help urban sprawl. Wildfires devastated North Clark County last year, and I've been walking in Louisville County Park for 20 years. Can you hear me okay? Each year, more trees in that wonderful park are dying because of warmer climate. Regional passenger rail corridors are already built in Clark County.
Could you speak up a little bit?
Okay. We have a rail corridor that's pictured up here on the screen that I put up. So I'm looking at corridors that go all the way to Longview on existing passenger service. Amtrak already serves the north south, and passenger service also goes to the east and west. But we also have a public right-of-way all the way to Chulachi Prairie, and we could use regional rail system to serve this whole area in southwest Washington, which is missing so far. So the regional passenger rail system in southwest Washington could remove over one quarter of the 140,000 daily auto trips from the I-5 bridge using passenger rails on these corridors I'm talking about. Building this passenger system would cost one-sixth the cost of $6 billion proposed for the interstate bridge replacement. Develop a regional rail system, they could help out the I-5 bridge and not build one. There's more subdivisions are being built in the county with as many as 500 homes. These residents deserve a better alternative than more roads in Clark County. Rail travel can be twice as fast as auto travel to and from Oregon. And regional passenger rail service would reduce auto travel along with improving freight mobility. And it will lessen climate change and remove demand for more roads being built in Clark County. So what I'm proposing is requesting funds from the bipartisan infrastructure law for a feasibility study and cost-benefit analysis for regional passenger rail service in southwest Washington. So.
Okay. I spent the better part of the day today reading over the materials that Mr. Rowe has provided us over the months going forward, and as I understand, there's a similar request for funds that has been put forward by representatives who represent Snoqualmie Pass, and they put the information together, but the Director of Rail, Freight, and Ports Division for the Washington State Department of Transportation issued a letter. And I'm just going to quote one sentence out of it. It said, the report determined that the long journey times, the low ridership projections, and high costs of construction do not make this route financially or logistically viable. Given these findings, it would be impractical for the state to move forward with an investment in this corridor. And that was a corridor going all the way from Seattle to Yakima.
Yes.
And if that is not practical, then our little short corridor that serves probably a lot fewer people and
would be harder to navigate across the river would be likely a waste of time at this point. Now, I'm not saying it forever is a waste of time, but at this time, certainly with the other priorities that we have on our plate, that we would not invest a lot of effort into it. I'm happy that Mr. Rowe would continue to do that if he wants to, and if he chooses to inquire about us. I had asked before that he develop a plan that would say what it would take for us to apply for this and to get the funding and get a study done, and what we would have to contribute to that in order to get that done. And that's, so far he hasn't done that. And you offered before, Mark, that to work with him, but I'm just going to say that you can be a sounding board for him if he has questions to ask, but to not devote a lot of time to it at this point in time, because we have other things on our plate that are more important and they're more likely to be received. Okay.
The reason I used the Stampede pass was that was a request, and I think what I interpret you said last meeting was that you wanted to find out how do you ask for the bi-state or the BIL funds to be available, and so that's what I presented that. But I think we could put together a better argument here in Southwest Washington than what they did up in Stampede Pass. But I'll work on it, and Mark Daniels and I will put our heads together and figure out what really needs to be required for getting funds that wouldn't cost Clark County anything.
Well, again, you know, we've heard this several times now, and the elephant in the room is the UP and BNSF. Nothing's going to happen unless they're on board, and I think your first stop should be them. You know, we can't drive this. We're in a railroad advisory board to a little itty-bitty short line in Clark County. Now, if you go to, you know, BNSF and UP and they say, great deal, let's see if we can make this work, we're on board. But until you do that, don't bother us.
Okay. I'll work with the feds on it. Maybe they'll talk to them.
Come back with a big check and we'll talk.
Well, I don't know if I'll bring a big check, but I'll have more information. All right. Thanks. Thanks for the time that you spent on this already.
Thank you.
Dan has spent a lot of time of his own time on this. Bye.
We have a few people online, so I'll go through them one by one and see if anybody has anything that they would like to say. So we'll start with Jackie Lane.
Oh.
All right, Jeff Stewart.
I don't have anything with the same thing.
All right. And Nancy Halverson.
Not at this time.
Is Mark on the board? Online?
And yes, we did have Mark Kerseg join us. Mark, anything you want to add?
Nothing for me.
All right, that does it.
Okay, anything else from anyone want to add? Yes.
Just listening into, yeah, I heard it last meeting and then hear it again with the...
But you state your name and who you represent.
My name is Nathaniel Boyd. I'm a volunteer at the SPNS 700 in Portland and have helped out at BYCX, but I think I'm just kind of observing at this time. But I do like hearing discussion in terms of inner city transit, because, you know, I might be a young guy, but, you know, I know that in some of the circles that I've been in, there's been kind of a, hey, you know, do we have something alternative to just a bunch of vehicles? I think the biggest challenge in terms of, aside from, getting railroads on board, which is a big thing, I think it's also just public awareness, because, most people are familiar with, the convenience of taking their vehicles around. It's pretty easy to just hop in a car and go. But when it comes to rail, either it's somewhat faster or it's, not nearly as fast as going by trip. And so some people, aren't going to be considering using that as an alternative to their vehicles. And, I've lived in the Bay Area, and they've got, VTA that has been notorious for, sometimes you can outpace it during a traffic day. So there's, a lot of faucets that go along, but I feel like having people, coming in public education and kind of saying, hey, this is what we can do, this is an opportunity, can get more people and, warm to the idea of going back to rail, because then when you live in a modern society where everybody uses cars, it's kind of been a thing that's gotten a little shaded in the corner, where it used to be the main form of transportation is now kind of, something that is there but can have opportunities for more improvement. So I'd say it's a good discussion to have to not, but I also feel like, in order to, I'd say the other way to go about it is just getting more people aware of the opportunities that railroads can provide, especially with people my age, because with all the technology around and, social media, it's kind of easy to get distracted and forget that there's all these opportunities right in front of us. That's all I'll say.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? Anyone else? All right, I am going to do what was previously in the minutes, write a letter, unless you tell me not to, write a letter to Kathleen Otto and or the counselors. I'll decide exactly how that's going to go, and suggest that we try to get back on track with the 5517 implementation. I know that from my communication so far with them, I think they're anxious, the counselors are anxious to get that back on track also. So unless somebody has an objection to that, I will go ahead. Okay, I see thumbs up. All right, I will draft that and get it out before the next meeting. Anything else? Do I hear a move for adjournment? I know John wants to get to watch that call game.
So move.
Moved. We've adjourned. Anybody objection to that?
I don't
know. No, sir.
We're adjourned.
Thanks, everybody.
I got to do it.